Visa isn't a credit card company. It's an innovation company that makes digital payments a reality around the world. Visa has simple and unwavering vision to be the best way to pay and be paid for everyone everywhere. From food trucks to fantasy league dues, they want to provide you with the most secure and easy payment experience possible. All you have to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Green Bay Packers hosting the Carolina Panthers. We'll jump ahead to the third quarter. Aaron Jones in for the 13-yard touchdown, his third score of the day. Packers take the 21-10 lead. Jump ahead to the fourth. Snow's coming down. It's getting real at Lambeau. Panthers hanging around thanks in part to that guy, Kyle Allen. Put him in a position to tie the game. Down 8, Christian McCaffrey. Another great game from him, but he stuffed at the goal line as the clock hits 0. Packers hold on to get the 24-16 win. They improved to 8-2. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game.
Winter is here in Green Bay. And we're starting to make this place a tough place to come in again. It's a good football team. I'm proud of our guys. You know, we left some plays out there, especially into the first half. But our defense came up big with some stops. You know, Kyle played really well. They got a good team. Maybe see them down the line.
And, of course, that biggest stop at the very end when they really needed to stop McCaffrey. But, Nick, how badly did Green Bay need this win?
It's an enormous win for Green Bay. The difference between going into the bye 7-3, coming off back-to-back losses where you're a favorite, and going into the bye 8-2, where you can look at the Charger game just as an outlier. And, by the way, as an added bonus, they come off the field and they're like, wait, what happened? You're saying New Orleans lost earlier, and so all of a sudden all of their goals are still in play, particularly considering they get San Francisco, one of the teams, the only team they're looking up at in the standings right after the bye. It's a great win for the Packers, most notably because of what Aaron Rodgers just said. He's a very famous Game of Thrones fan, made a Game of Thrones cameo, so he kind of changed winter is coming to winter is here. But that's important. And playing home games in the playoffs at Lambeau is something Aaron Rodgers, last half decade, not a lot of experience with. Their last bye was in 2014. Since then, they have played one home playoff game. That was the game after Odell and his friend's boat trip against the Giants in 2016. That's it. So Aaron Rodgers knows it's just not only that the last 2 years they missed the playoffs, but even when they were making the playoffs, they were not positioning themselves to where teams have to come in and play in one of the most impossible places to win a playoff game historically in the NFL, which is Lambeau Field. And coach, this Packer team for the first time in a long time also seems built to where they could win one of those cold, snowy, ugly playoff games. Yeah, Rodgers is sensational because he's almost always sensational, but Aaron Jones was really good. The defense was creating turnovers on Kyle Allen. That looked like a playoff game in a playoff environment, and the Packers came through huge.
Yeah, I'm sure they're happy to play in the cold weather. We saw what they did in the warm weather, and that wasn't very good. And this game was really important because of how bad last game was and how collectively they failed to perform in a big moment, in a moment where they could have put some distance between them and some of the people that are chasing them. And that, to me, was unfortunate, and I liked what they did yesterday. But there's still some issues. Defensively, they do a great job rushing the passes. They've got the Smith brothers. They're able to rush off the edge, and they're constantly putting quarterbacks under pressure, and they've got the ability to create turnovers. They're very opportunistic defense. I just don't think they've really solved the running game problem. And that, to me, is going to be the Achilles heel as they move forward. The teams that have consistently run the ball against them and
oh, the run game defense problem.
Defensively, the run game. Teams that have consistently run the ball against them have had a lot of success. And it's like we talked about earlier. It keeps Aaron Rodgers off the field. It slows down the pass rush. It changes the dynamic of their defense as a whole. And that, to me, is the concern, whether it's at Lambeau or anywhere else, is how well they've addressed that.
Well, and they'll, I assume, spend a lot of the bye week trying to address that, because after the bye, if they're going to get the one seed, they have to beat San Francisco. And San Francisco has been the best running team in the NFC this year by a wide margin. And they're just getting healthier on that front, getting their fullback back, their tackles back, who have been out with injury. So if you're a team that struggles against the run, San Francisco is a team that absolutely thus far this this season has made you pay for that.
And you said a little earlier, we were discussing, you were surprised that Carolina didn't run the ball more, given that you know what the Packers offer up in their run defense.
Yeah, and when you have a guy like Chris McCaffrey, I know his average is around 20 carries per game, but this is one of those games where you bump it up a little bit. Maybe you go 25, maybe you go 30, just because you realize that's the weakness of the defense, and he's your most explosive player by far.
And especially in that weather and the conditions, too. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. So if you've been following the show, we have a little back and forth here. I'm more pro Kyle Allen. You're more, I don't know if he's the future for Carolina, Kyle Allen. I thought he played a great game yesterday. I thought he kept the Panthers in it. Terrible conditions on a day when you're playing against the Green Bay Packers, who were at home and were coming off that loss. I thought there was every reason for him to struggle, and he really didn't. Do you feel differently about Kyle Allen after what you saw yesterday?
No, and to me, your evaluation proves my point, which is he did play a great game by his standards. Turned the ball over twice, and his team scored 16 points. Like that, but now, by the way, this is also why the quarterback wins thing is unfair, because this was a better, he played a better game than he played in some of their wins. He played a better game than he did in their win against the Houston Texans when they won 16-10. Team still scored 16 points. One was a win, one was a loss. And he was very poised on that final drive. I didn't think he played a very good game at all until that final drive. And on that final drive, that was a great drive. And you come 1 yard short of potentially tying the game with a two-point conversion. But no, like, to me, it's very obvious what Kyle Allen is. He is right now, and this is better than I expected, a very good backup quarterback that if he's your starting quarterback, you better have the most dominant running back in football, which they do. Right. And a great defense, which at times they do. In order to just lose close games to really good teams. Because that is who he is. And by the way, as an undrafted kid who went to two colleges and got cut by two NFL teams, he is overachieving. And I think that's what you love about him, is that he's overachieving. But it's the NFL. And like, you don't get extra credit for overachieving. You get credit for achieving at a standard. And I think right now, if Kyle Allen's your quarterback, you got about the 25th best quarterback in the NFL.
Well, he's in about as difficult a situation as you could be in as a young quarterback. You've got to move the ball down that last drive. You're fighting the weather. You're fighting an outstanding pass rush. You're fighting the fact that everybody knows you got to throw the ball. And he was able to do that. And he was able to do that with a lot of poise. So to me, that's a really encouraging part of what we've seen here, because some guys are going to fold in those moments. And we've seen plenty of those drives, especially against Green Bay, where they go back to pass and it's just over before the drive can even get going.
But one of the reasons they were down 14 points and they scored a touchdown. People will criticize them because they went for two after they scored the first touchdown. Analytically, that is absolutely the sound move. The only way it hurts you is if you fail twice. But one of the reasons they were in that position was because of the turnovers by Kyle Allen and because the offense was stuck in the mud despite Christian McCaffrey having another 140-yard from scrimmage game. And so I don't want to be too hard on him, but he's now a starting quarterback in the NFL, and the team's going to move on from Cam Newton. He no longer gets judged on this sliding backup quarterback scale. He gets judged on the scale of, can he get you to where you need to get to? And I believe the answer with Carolina is no.
Could he be their starting quarterback next year?
Well, to me, it's going to be how much he continues to progress. And I thought that last drive was a very encouraging part. If you're looking at it organizationally, he shows poise in a big moment against in a really tough situation.
Back here, first things first, we're now joined by Bart Scott. Good morning, Bart.
Hello, Coach.
Good morning, Bart.
It's our first time meeting.
First time.
It's not like two good
first impressions.
Minds together.
That's not the time. All right. Well, we got a
just
lot.
Trying to drift behind, Coach.
To talk about big Sunday yesterday. Let's start with Dak and the Cowboys, Bart. All right, Bart, if you're looking to blame someone for last night's Cowboys loss, it certainly can't be Dak Prescott, who had a tremendous game. Who would you place last night's loss on?
I would say Jason Garrett, simply because his team continues to come out slow. They're playing from behind, and it takes tremendous energy to be able to come from behind when you get off to a 14-0 start. They may be to close the gap, but it leaves small room for error when you continue to start off slow. And they need to figure out why are they starting off slow. They're great at making these adjustments, in-game adjustments, but they're starting off slow. Dalvin Cook was great in just controlling the line of scrimmage. And you're really starting to see on the other side Gary Kubiak's influence on this team, because you see this one cut, press the hole, one cut, get vertical, and it starts to wear on the team. And they also took advantage of a very fast defense and used their athleticism and speed against them. And this was just a tough game. We continue to really try and bury Kirk Cousins, but we have to give him credit because he showed up. And listen, he didn't have to be Dak Prescott, but he was good enough for that football team. He managed the game. He took care of the football. And at the end of the day, they got the victory. You have to give credit to the Minnesota Vikings for going on a road in a tough environment and responding.
And since week five, Kirk Cousins is first in the NFL in passing touchdowns, passer rating, and plays of 20-plus yards. He, ever since Adam Thielen apologized to Thielen and Diggs demanded a trade, he's been excellent. But let's stay on the slow starts for a moment. Coach, this is something you and I have talked about off the air that you dealt with once, to the point to where you brought in outside help. Like the slow starts can be an epidemic, almost something that you're searching for the way to get over. I don't know if you want to share the story, but what do you attribute the slow starts to?
Well, look, it happens in a lot of different ways. Okay, sometimes it can be the slow start at the start of the game. Sometimes it can be coming out at halftime and not being able to perform there. Sometimes it's how you play on the West Coast. There's these different situations that for some reason teams don't respond very well to, and you try as a head coach different things, and you may change up the schedule, you may change up the first 15 plays, you may defer, you may take the ball. You've seen it throughout the course of the season where coaches try different things when they're in situations like this. But what can happen is when you spend so much time harping on it, focusing on it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and everybody is so tensed up at the beginning of the games that it's self-defeating, and I think you almost got to take a step back, relax, and see where that goes.
And it leads to bad decisions, like kicking a 57-yard field goal to start the football game on 4th and 6. The only reason you do that is because it's like, damn it, we're gonna be the first to get points on the board. Now, I understand the Cowboys kicker is one of the best kickers in NFL history from 50-plus, and from 60-plus he has had immense success. I get that. But you don't risk putting your defense in that bad of a position or that early in the football game when you don't have to. You don't know what version of Kirk Cousins is coming out. You don't. Right. But you do that because, like you're saying, you're pressing. And it's hard to put this on Dak because Dak was so great yesterday. It's one of the best games he ever played. But when he wasn't good, it was the first few drives. Mm-hmm. And go ahead, Coach.
Well, I'm just saying the flip side of this is, and the upside of this for the Cowboys is they know they can come back. They know that they can overcome a slow start. They've done it a bunch of times. So there is a resilience that's built up that some other teams don't have, where it's got to go good early or otherwise they go into the tank. The Cowboys have shown resilience, and to me, that's a strength that should help them as the season goes on.
And the slow starts at 3 first half points against New Orleans, down 31-3 to Green Bay, down 21-3 to the Jets, mm-hmm. down 12-3 to the Giants before the Giants made some questionable mistakes at the end of that half to give the Cowboys a lead at the end of the half, down 14-0 yesterday. But the problem for Jason Garrett, Bart, to your point, is the questions about coaching weren't just in the first quarter. It was then at the very end of the football game, when we have now seen the type of game Dak is playing, where Dak is completing third and longs repeatedly, where he is distributing the ball to Cooper, to Cobb, Jarwin had a big play. He's playing one of the finest games I've seen him play. You're on the final drive, you're down 4, so you got to have a touchdown. You don't even face a third down until late in the drive because Dak is being so effective on 1st and 2nd. You have 8 plays on that drive. leading into the second and two. Seven of them are Dak Prescott passes. Six of them are Dak Prescott completed passes. And then Zeke, for as good as he is, he's not been a great short yardage back, and he's not been a great red zone back. You take the ball out of Dak's hands on consecutive plays. Second and two, Zeke. It doesn't work. Third and two, Zeke again. And then fourth and five, you throw it to him. That I'm not going to put on the play call because Dak made the decision to throw it to him. But to take the ball out of Dak's hands when he's having one of the best games he's had in years, I think it's a top five game of his career. Well, I don't know if that's Jason Garrett or Kellen Moore because I'm not exactly certain who's actually calling the plays. But that was a killer for Dallas because much like the Jets game where they started slow, they had an opportunity to win it at the end, and they did not. And that's why they find themselves in the position they're in.
Well, third and two is one of those downs where it can be either or. Now, Ezekiel Elliott has been your workhorse. And I know he's been contained that game, but you understand that you're going for it on fourth down. So you're hoping that Zeke can maybe pop one because they're defending against both the run and the pass. Now, the pass on the last one, when you look out there, you're Dak Prescott. And I don't know if everybody really knows how good of a football player Eric Kendricks is, but you kind of think you like that matchup against your best guy, you know, on the team
Zeke,
that can run. Yeah, one-on-one that can run pretty good routes. But, you know, Kendrick just made a great play, and you have to tip your cap to him and say, hey, he made a great play. We went with our best player. We liked the matchup. And, you know, congratulations to him.
Coach, does a loss like this for the Cowboys make you rethink where they will be, you know, sort of towards the end of the season, whether they would even make a playoff run at this point?
Well, the whole season for me has made me concerned or wonder where they are. When you start out 3-0, and those teams weren't the toughest teams that they were going to face.
You're being kind, Coach.
And then you go 0-3, and then it's just been so up and down. You don't get the consistency. And when I hear Nick say, you take the ball out of Dak Prescott's hands, I don't think anybody's ever said that in relationship to the Cowboys versus Dak versus Ezekiel Elliott. So I understand why they would go to their best player and who everybody would arguably consider their best player in those clutch moments.
And I understand the best player holistically. I also understand the best player in the context of the game and, to use a basketball term, the hot hand. And by the way, on second and two or third and two, what happened to getting Dak Prescott on the move and letting him use his arms or his legs? Like that, we have now seen, it's a gotta have it moment that you talk about all the time. Much like the two-point conversion against the Jets.
Yeah.
And you're gotta have a moment, you go to your 48-year-old tight end, you're gotta have in the Jets game, you're gotta have a moment here, you throw, and now, granted, I understand that Kendricks made a great play, but that's also a hard pass. Like, that is, in order to get 5 yards, that ball's traveling 25 yards because it's going so horizontally, and if Kendricks doesn't make the play, Zeke still has to reel it in, get both feet down. I feel like they could have been put in a better position. And in a year where Jason Garrett doesn't have a contract extension, where he is one of the six most tenured coaches in football, and the other six are Bill Belichick, Sean Payton,
Harbaugh,
Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh, and Pete Carroll. What do all of those guys have in common? They've all been, it's like, you know, which one of these is not like the others? And it's pretty damn obvious which one of these is not like the others. And so they've all been to the Super Bowl. They've all won a Super Bowl. They all have at least 4x the playoff wins as Jason Garrett. Moments like that, and Belichick's numbers are just cartoonish. But it's moments like this that make you feel like, man, when are the Cowboys going to be the team we think they should be? I know, I feel like you're
Well, I'm
angry.
Just saying, Ted Marchabrota, you always say in big moments, think players, not plays. And it's hard to criticize Jason Garrett in big moments to going to Ezekiel Elliott and giving him an opportunity to win the game. The last pass, there were options. He chose the matchup against a linebacker with inside leverage. But it's if he hadn't given the ball to Zeke one of those two downs, we'd be sitting here going, how could you not give the ball on third and two
Marshawn Lynch, right?
to your greatest player?
It's just been such an inconsistent season for the Cowboys that you really, honestly, week to week, don't know exactly who they are and how good they could be and if you can trust them.
And they don't know either.
November and December comes down to these type of games with seeding and things get tight. Pressure bust pipes, and now the Philadelphia Eagles are hot on their heels.
And you might be right, Coach, that if they hadn't given the ball to Zeke, we'd be talking about how do you not give the ball to Zeke. We also might have been talking about a Cowboys comeback win to put them at 7-3, and now we don't.
All right, let's move on. If Patrick Mahomes was good, boy, Lamar Jackson was great. Ravens coming off their big win over the Patriots, facing the winless Bengals yesterday. Yeah, they were favored to win, but the way they won was impressive. Two words for you. Lamar Jackson, 15 of 17, 223
yards. Video game stuff right there.
Three touchdowns, a perfect passer rating, and on the ground, 65 yards and a touchdown. Ravens get the win, 49-13. They improve to 7-2. Coach, how incredible was Lamar's performance in this one?
Yeah, Lamar's been incredible throughout the course of the season in the role that he has. And I think it's such a good fit with him and Greg Roman. The things that Greg did in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick, you're seeing the same things with Lamar. And Lamar's done an outstanding job with it. And that could get better. Greg's one of the best I've ever been around in terms of scheming up not just the run game, but the quarterback-driven run game. Now, that being said, Cincinnati makes a lot of people feel really good and unfortunately look really good at this point for them. My big questions on Lamar have stayed the same is when everybody knows you got to pass it, when they can't play the game on their terms, will he be able to carry the team in those
and
moments?
He's probably, Coach, just quickly here, he's probably gone some way to answering that from where he was last season, correct?
I think there's been progress. I don't know if that's really been answered at this point.
Now, I've been around Greg Roman as the run coordinator, also as the offense coordinator in Baltimore, then in New York. He's tremendous in making sure that he schemes plays that mirror exactly pass and play action off of it. And the Ravens are creating a problem for teams that they don't often see. You don't see an offense like this with gun pistols, so many different formations, three tight ends. You know, their primary targets are tight ends, and then Hollywood Brown is giving them something that they didn't have last year. That's somebody that can stretch the football field off that play action. I feel like this is the perfect marriage, and this organization deserves a lot of credit for building an offense around a unique talent and making it work for him. Much like Cam Newton had when he came in, Colin Kaepernick, I think he's a more explosive athlete than Colin Kaepernick. He's not as big, and he's kept himself out of harm's way because I don't see him taking a lot of explosive hard hits. And if he can stay healthy, and I mean, just look at the creativity. They had all three, they had RG3 on the field yesterday.
The Heisman Ingram, package.
The Heisman package, and it's just so much to prepare for, and it causes pause and hesitation, and that step of hesitation sets up the block for all those guys to get to the second level, and Ingram's the perfect back, physical downhill to make you pay.
And I don't know what this is going to look like in 6 years, right? I don't know if he's going to stay healthy. I don't know if the league's going to catch up. I don't know any of that. But I know right now he's sensational. He started 17 games as a pro, 13-4. For a team that was dead in the water with Joe Flacco, that had to remake everything, he has been brilliant. You're right, the Cincinnati's a team that makes a lot of people look good, but he was perfect yesterday.
It's perfect against New England last week, too.
He was 15 of 17, those two incompletions. One was a spike, one was a drop. I do know he is a quarterback that if you have a very bad defense, he's going to make you look historically bad. That's what he did to Miami in week one. That's what he did yesterday to Cincinnati. And right now, I think Russell Wilson's a league MVP. And I think he's going to further prove that tonight because I think Seattle's going to win that football game. But if you're doing your MVP list and you don't have Lamar Jackson somewhere in the top five, maybe the top three, it's because you were down on him going into the draft and you don't want to admit you were wrong. Like the folks that question, can he be a quarterback in this league? Yes. Can he be an effective starting quarterback in this league? Yes. Can he play at an MVP level for at least a season? The answer is yes. He's proving that. And Baltimore right now looks like the most complete team in the AFC.
Yeah, if you look at the Pats, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, you look at the Ravens and you say top to bottom offense, defense, and obviously a quarterback.
Take that, Bill Polian.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.